prayers of the righteous come before our Lord and Savior, and we thank him for being our head, our guide, our protector, and our provider. Well, it is 6 o'clock, but we're going to take about 30 more seconds of shout-outs because I see quite a few more have joined us, and we want to give you an opportunity to shout out your name and where you're calling from. Who else do we have out there on this wonderful Wednesday morning?
B.J. Brown from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Good morning, Miss B.J. Brown from Milwaukee. Welcome to the call. Who else do we have out there this morning?
Karen in Rochester.
Good morning. Glad to have you from Rochester. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the call. Well, we're going to go on and get started with the call. We see our speaker has arrived, and so glad that he's back with us and feeling good, sounding good, and knowing above all that God is good. I'm trying to see. I don't see our Dr. PK, but I'm sure she'll be joining us. I'm going to go on all the way out to the West Coast, and I'm going to ask Ms. Tiffany if you will open us up this morning with a word of prayer.
Absolutely. Pastor Vanessa, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Evangelist. Open us up.
Great. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, thanking you for this another day, Father, another day that you have allowed for us to wake up, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your presence, Father God, and we thank you, Father God, for your promises. We thank you for your plan, for your purposes for our lives, Father God. We ask that your will be manifest here on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. We rise early to declare your lordship, and we get under the covering of the early riser, and we come into agreement with the saints to declare your glory. We declare that you are our Lord and our Savior, Father God, our creator, our redeemer, our refuge, Father God, our strength and our help in the time of trouble, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we could hide in you, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, for this another Wednesday that you have allowed for us to wake up in, Father God. We thank you for protection and provision on last night and through the week, Father God. We thank you that your angels of protection have been around us, Father God. Father God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that your will be manifest here on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, for Artists International, for its founders, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us all to be connected. And if we are not, Father God, I pray, Father God, that we would share, Father God, what we know about Artists International with others, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you would continue to bless the visionaries of this call, Father God. I pray that you would continue to give them the strength, Father God, that they need, Father God. I pray, Father God, and declare that no weapon which is formed against us shall prosper, Father God. For we stand on your word and your promises to know that it will be so, Father God, in your name, Father God. And we ask right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you would allow the heavens, Father God, to line up with your glory, Father God, that your glory will be manifest here on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. And I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you will bless the speaker as he would come this morning, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you will remove anything within him, Father God, that would be keeping him or trying to prevent him from doing your will, Father God. I pray, Father God, that the headaches, Father God, will cease right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, and that you would just touch his body, Father God. I pray, Father God, that the word that will be delivered this morning, Father God, will not just go into our ears, but that it would become a part of our hearts and our minds and our words, Father God, and that we would share that with others, Father God. I ask that you would just continue to heal and touch each person that is on this line this morning, Father God, and that you would allow us to do a new thing in this new season, Father God. I pray, Father God, that we would do what is right and in order according to your word, Father God. So we thank you because you are our shepherd, Father God, and you are our friend, Father God, and we love you so much, and we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, and it will be so, and we declare it in your name, in Jesus' name, we pray these and all things. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Miss Tiffany, for that opening prayer. As we always do, set the atmosphere, command the morning, and pierce the darkness so the word of God can go forth freely, unhindered, and be a blessing to our hearts and minds. Before our speaker comes this morning, we are so honored that he is a part of our Master's Call family and has been just so faithful to be a part of bringing and breaking the word each and every day, each and every week. We want to give a few announcements. We see we have a lot of first-time callers on the line this morning, and we are just so excited how God continues to bless this Master's Call to grow and grow for his glory and our good. We invite everyone to visit our website at themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com, themasters with an S, morningcall.wordpress.com, and there you can find a rich archive of messages and the links that you can click on and just listen to the powerful words that have gone forth that have truly blessed our hearts and stirred our spirits and empowered our minds to go on in greatness. And just avail yourself to our messages all the way back to our beginnings in October of last year. We also, there you will find our email. We encourage you to send your prayer requests. We do consider it a privilege and an honor to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and bombard heaven on your behalf, because the word of God tells us that the prayers of the righteous avail as much. So we're honored to hear from you, and you can email us at themastersmorningcall@gmail.com, themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. Well, I want to bring our speaker to the line, who is not a guest because he is part of our family, of the Master Call family, and has been with us since the beginning, and such an encouragement, such a cutting-edge word always in his mouth. Truly, he is, this is his time in this season. He is a pastor in New Orleans, a father, a husband, an author, a psalmist, and the Lord continues to revelate in his heart and mind new assignments, and I'm just so excited, the boldness in him to be an apostolic trendsetter and a trailblazer. And I tell you, if you've never heard him before, you will be inspired, encouraged, and know that you're hearing the voice of God. So I'm encouraging each and every one of you to get a pen and paper and get ready to hear from him. Before he comes, of course, the last announcement is we're encouraging everybody to go to our artist website. Just want to remind us quickly to avail yourself of all that's going on there, the ATC training that's coming up in California. But I want to introduce now and present to some others our very own, whom we love so dearly, Pastor Chuck Brown from New Orleans. Chuck, I see you on the line, and the floor is yours.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Dr. Vanessa. We bless the Lord for you. Praise God for your ministry and for what you and Dr. PK are doing every day of the week, just lifting us up and inspiring us. Appreciate you, Tiffany, for opening us up with prayer. And I'm grateful to be back on the line and being with you all. The many challenges, I praise God, that he's always able to get us through anything that we face. And on that note, I would like to have you to turn and look at Numbers chapter 13, reading out of the New Living Translation. I'm going to skip through several verses, but I want that you would follow me along with Numbers 13. Again, the New Living Translation may read a little different from the authorized or King James Version that most of us are accustomed to. Numbers 13, verse 1. Chapter 13, Numbers 13, verse 1. The Lord now said to Moses, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am given to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. Go down to verse 17. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. "Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many." Let's go down to verse 25. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw our giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let us go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Let us go at once. We can certainly conquer it. Every speaker who has graced us on this call has been assigned by God to issue the word that will build your faith. And honestly, I believe I can speak for all of us that we're not interested in tickling your emotions or hyping you up. All of us want to inspire you to live the life that God has ordained for you to live. It is my intention to encourage you to begin living a maximized life. And by maximized life, I mean one that is lived to the fullest. And I believe that I can speak for all of you, all of the listeners, that we all want to live life to the fullest. But what happens in between the time that you hear the promise of inheritance and the time that you actually inhabit the place of promise? There's a waiting period in between, and this waiting period is crucial to how your story turns out. So I believe that you have to be able to maintain faith while you wait. If you desire to see the manifestation of God's promise in your life, then you're going to have to maintain and increase your faith while you're waiting. That means you're going to have a balanced faith diet. And a balanced faith diet consists of several things, and we've heard this throughout the year since this call has started. You have to have vision. Without a vision, a people perish. A vision is a God-given peek into future affairs. It shows you not where you are, but it shows you where you will end up. That's good news for some, because we know that if where we are is not what God showed us, then we're not here to stay. A major component of your faith diet is your word intake. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we learn to hold on to the word of God and realize the importance of constantly feasting on the word, then we can become full of the word and consequently full of faith. The third component of a balanced faith diet is action. Faith without works is dead. That is to say that faith without corresponding action means absolutely nothing. You can see where God has taken you. You can hear where God wants to take you. But if you don't take the necessary actions to set yourself up for results, then your quote-unquote faith means absolutely nothing. The last component of your faith diet is your praise. Some people only praise God once they receive their promise, but God is looking for individuals who don't have the car yet but still praise. He's looking for people who don't yet have the house that they want, but they're still praising God as if they have it. I don't have the job or the position I want yet, but God, because I know that faith gets your attention, then I'm going to praise you in advance by faith. I want you to become connoisseurs of faith. When people talk to you, they'll hear you talk in faith terms, because you talk faith, you exhibit faith, you live by faith, you work your faith. I need you to understand, people, that God is pleased when you walk by faith, and his pleasing releases an impartation into you that brings life to whatever you're believing for. So this morning, I want to share with you from this subject, and I won't be long, that from this subject, faith that defies your reality. Faith that defies your reality. Please understand something off the top. God didn't bring you where you are to be destroyed. Get that out of your mind. God will not allow you to follow his directions if his directions lead to destruction. On the contrary, well, let me say that again. God will never allow you to follow his directions if his directions lead to destruction. But on the contrary, what God does, when he gives us instruction and you follow those instructions, then you find out that where you are is the perfect place to be. Pastor Chuck, how can you say that when I'm facing eviction or divorce or sickness or disappointments or layoffs. I say that confidently because God never brings you somewhere and leaves you. James Cleveland said, don't believe that he's brought me this far to leave me. So whenever my situations are unfavorable, then I realize that it's only a setup for my come up. On that note, let me give you a couple of principles. Number one, God is commanding you to possess the promise he promised to you. God is commanding you to possess the land that he promised to you. God is commanding you, he's commanding you to possess the land that he promised to you. There is scripture upon scripture that tells us to possess the promises over 60 times. I would not dare try to read all of them, but Genesis 22 and 17, Genesis 24 and 16, it goes through, goes throughout the word of God. All of these scriptures tells us, they tell us to go up and possess. Go up and possess. I want you to say that. I have to possess the land. What does it mean to possess? It means to seize. It means to dispossess. It means to take possession of and to occupy. Some of us miss out on possession because we don't seize opportunities. When opportunities arise, we run from them or take our times getting to them. And by the time we get ready to possess, the windows of opportunities that were opened on yesterday are now closed. Don't miss your moment of possession because you were too lazy or slothful or slow in taking action. Why are we not living the life that we're praying for? Why do we continue to live beneath our privileges? Many times it's because of our reality. We're so caught up on our reality that we forget to look through eyes of faith. My God. Some people are destroyed, and I want you to get this, by the vastness of their reality that they're facing. They've heard the word that came from God saying to go up and possess, yet when they see the land that God is telling them to possess, they get extremely discouraged. Everything God tells you to do by faith will always be something that you're not capable of doing presently. You got to get this. Everything that God tells you to do by faith will always be something that you're not presently capable of doing. But that does not determine whether or not you should go and possess. I emphasize by faith. Check this out. For many of you who work or have some type of revenue or income coming in, you don't need faith to buy groceries. You simply go get what you want, swipe the card, write the check, use the cash, whatever. That has absolutely nothing to do with faith. But then there are others who either don't have an income or in a position where their bills or some emergency has sucked up all of their money. And for them to get groceries is an act of faith because they don't have the money to get what they're desiring. Let me go further. Some of you on your way to work or you'll be leaving in a minute to go to work, but you have a tank full of gas. It doesn't require prayer for you to get there. Your tires are brand new and rotated. Your car engine starts with no problem as soon as you turn the key or press the button. You know your headlights work when it's dark and your windshield wipers work in the rain. You know that barring some type of accident, you will arrive at your destination. However, it takes others great faith just to make it to work. They get in their car, turn the ignition, and pray that their car starts. They start driving and pray every time it stalls. Then they look at the gas meter and notice that it's past E. They make it, but they make it by faith. Be careful of how you judge the people who you sit next to in church or who you're sitting next to in your job or wherever, because you don't know what all they have to go through to get to where God is promising them. You don't know what they had to go through to get here. You see them praising and dancing, but you don't know the pain that got them to this point. You see them shouting and leaping, but you don't know the hurt that fuels that praise. Somebody is only alive because they dare to believe God. Someone here is only alive because you dare to trust God. Someone has a job not because they were qualified, but because they believed God. Someone is driving a new car not because they had the credit or income, but because they had faith. I'm here because of my faith. Number two, let me give you this. The stronger my opposition, the stronger my faith must become. The stronger my opposition, the stronger my faith must become. Many of you are despising your opposition. You're looking at it with disgust because you don't yet understand the role that your trial is playing in your testimony. If you could only understand that your trial is not here to annihilate you, then you would also understand why you should rejoice in tribulation. It is because of your trial that you learn trouble don't last always. It's because of your trial that you learn that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It is because of your hardships that you learn how to love those who use you. It's because of your letdowns that you learn how to let go. It is through your breakdowns that you learn how to break through. So now my opposition becomes my friend because its role in my testimony is that of resistance. Whenever you want to bulk up through weightlifting, you have to place heavier weights on the bar. The resistance is the reason you build muscle. The heavier the resistance, the stronger your muscle. The more weight you push, the stronger you become. God is just trying to build up your faith muscles. Whenever you ask God to strengthen you, he then places something upon you that is heavier so that you can get accustomed to handling it and therefore build muscle. How many of you are going through some resistance right now? Listen, baby, don't fight it. Work it. Don't despise it. Work it. It's building you up. It's giving you more patience. It's giving you more discipline. It's causing you to show mercy to people you don't like. It's helping you to forgive those who hate on you. If you want to stay on the level you're on, don't ask God for more anything. But if you're ready to become a maximizer, then tell your reality, whatever you bring my way, I'll endure it. So don't, the stronger my opposition, the stronger my faith must become. Number three, let your faith defy your reality before your reality defines your faith. Let your faith defy, B-E-F-Y, your reality, before your reality defines your faith. I want to read the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. Listen, then just as the Lord our God commanded us, we left Mount Sinai, traveled through the great and terrifying wilderness, as you yourselves remember, headed toward the hill country of the Amorites. Verse 20, I said to you, you have now reached the hill country of the Amorites that the Lord our God has given us. Look, he has placed the land in front of you. Go up and occupy it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Check this out, verse 22. But you all came to me and said, first let's send out scouts to explore the land for us. They will advise us on the best route to take and which towns we should enter. This seems like a good idea to me, Rosa said. So I chose 12 scouts, one from each of your tribes, and they headed for the hill and so forth. And verse 25, they picked some of its fruit, brought it back to us, and they reported, the land the Lord our God has given us is indeed a good land. Well, don't let your faith defy your reality before your reality defines your faith. To defy means to openly challenge somebody's or someone's authority or power by refusing to obey it. It means to challenge their authority or power by refusing to obey it. It means to go against the norm or to go against the grain. It means to sometimes do what everybody else won't do. It means to be like Peter when others won't step out on the word. If I have to rock the boat and make you uncomfortable, so be it. Because I have places to go. I'm making moves. And if you're not coming with me, then I have to bypass you and leave you where you are. Check. Look at what the word does. It says, Moses sends out 12 scouts to spy out the land. Don't be deceived by what we read in Numbers 13 and 1. God's original instructions were for them to go up and possess the land. We see in Deuteronomy, the scripture that we just read, that it was the counsel of the people to Moses that caused Moses to send out spies. But the original reason for them sending the scouts out was to find out which way they should go up and through which cities they were going to have to encounter. You have to be extremely careful about researching everything God tells you to do. We must get to the point that when God says, go, you just go. You don't research, you don't analyze the decision, you don't call a board meeting, you don't evaluate everything, you don't get the demographics, you don't watch what the forecasters have to say or any of that, because you'll get caught up in the realness of your reality. Your reality is comfortable where it is. Your reality does not want to change. It's content with the status quo. God told them to go up and possess the land, but they sent out a committee to see if they should go and do what God told them to do. They were all excited. They were all on fire and ready to see the vision happen. But then 10 of the 12 spies start looking at the price tag and realize how much it costs. They start looking at the neighborhood and realize how upscale it is. They start looking at the job and begin to realize how much it requires of them. Now all of a sudden, their reality begins to de- define their faith, and their faith is defined by the reality. So it goes from I'm believing God for this house to I'll get this house when everything lines up. It goes from Pastor Chuck, we can buy this new building or buy this, you know, we can buy a new building or buy this building if we want, to Pastor, how are we going to pay for a building, you know, we ain't got the membership to afford it. But the amazing part of this story is this. They go into the land, cut down some grapes, figs, and bring them as proof of how good the land is. They have the proof in their hand, but allow the reality to change their faith. They have the proof of how this job will change the economic status of their household, but allow the reality to change their faith. They have the proof, but they still allow the reality to change or define their faith. Go get to the place where you start reminding your reality that change is on its way. Tell your reality not to get too comfortable with you being there, because your being there is subject to change at any moment. Don't let your reality change your faith, but let your faith challenge your reality. I don't care, as I close, what obstacle you're facing right now. Tell it, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I don't care who's standing in your way. Let them know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care how you feel in your body. Tell your sickness that by his stripes I am healed. I don't care how broke you are. Tell your money that my God shall supply all my needs. I don't care how dark it is in your life, what kind of season you're dealing with. I don't care if you can't see your way out. Tell your storm that this too shall pass. My faith is not defined by my reality. My reality is defined by my faith. So when I look at my situation, I look at it not how it is, but how it's going to be. That's how I am with my children. I don't look at my children just where they are now, but I see them where they're going to be. When I look at my ministry, I don't see me where I am now, but I see my ministry going, you know, I see us where we're going to be. My faith is defying my reality. It's challenging the authority of what I'm facing and letting it know that it has to change. God has some great things in store for you people. He has some great and mighty things in store for you. But stop allowing your reality to define your situation and to define your faith. Build yourself up and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you even if I can't trace you. Lord, I'm going to trust you even when I don't understand what you're telling me. God, I'm just going to obey. I'm submitting to you because you're omniscient. You know all things. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere at the same time, not just on the earth right now, but you're in my past, present, and my future right now. So you already know my way out. So, God, I'm going to trust you. Yes, you're the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So, Lord, I'm just going to follow your orders because I know you won't lead me to destruction. I'm going to allow my faith to defy my reality. And that's the word of God for today that I want to share with you and leave with you. Allow your faith to defy your reality. I trust that you were blessed by this word. God bless you. Dr. Vanessa is back in your hand.
Wow. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Faith that defies your reality. I tell you, Pastor Chuck, those awesome nuggets that God is commanding us to possess our land, and the stronger our opposition, the stronger our faith has to become, and to let our faith defy our reality and define, and your reality define our faith. Wow, wow, wow. Straight out of the throne room of God. I'm sure each and every one of you are encouraged by that awesome word from Pastor Chuck. I tell you, you always come packing, man of God, the word of God, and feed us truly his rich, nourishing word. And we thank you for being so humbled and surrendered and always here for us. I'm going to ask now that Amber come to the line and give us our prayer of intercession and close us out in prayer today. We are so excited, and I'm telling you, that word invigorated each and every one of us. Amber, will you please come?
Can you hear me, Pastor Vanessa?
Loud and clear.
Amen. That was a stirring word of God, and we thank God for the man of God being back with us. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, it's now faith. according to your word, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the word of God that came forth from your servant, God. And God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done, because he stood on his faith, believing you and knowing that he was already the healed. And so, God, we speak strength. We speak the apostolic and prophetic anointing continuously to be in his life, Father God. And Father God, by faith, he be ye whole in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We come against and we saturate him with your precious blood. We draw the bloodline between him and the enemy and the rear guard behind him and his household. God, we bind the hand of the enemy for any diabolical assignment that try to come against him, and renew his strength, renew his anointing, strengthen him, and take him to higher levels, deeper depth in your word for your people and your kingdom. Now, Father God, we come, Father God, knowing that by our faith, be ye whole, whoever needs to be whole. Be ye healed, whoever needs to be healed. Father God, we thank you by faith, Father God. We stand on believing, Lord, Father God, whatever needs to be met, you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So God, if it's healing, if it's resources, if it's deliverance, if it's salvation, Father God, if it's mental, Father God, in the name of Jesus, if it's spiritual, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you, by our faith, we stand, Father God, on your word, God, because we know without faith, it's impossible to please you, because anyone who comes to you must know that and believe that you exist, and you are a rewarder to them that diligently seek you, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for Artists International, the Diaz de Leon family, God. Continue to have your way upon them, because it was by faith they established Artists International, Lord Jesus. God, whether people are on this phone with artists or not, God, we know that by faith we need to do all that we need to do in you for your kingdom, Lord. God, you said, let there be, Father God, in this world was form, each and every one of us was in order, even before the foundations of the world, God. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Even this master morning call, by faith, the women of God came forth, Father God, to bring this master morning call for your glory and your glory only, God. God, we have the blood covering over each of us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your angels that encamped around about us, God. Whatever our purpose, assignment, and destiny, Lord Jesus, is for you on today by the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. We will walk accordingly by faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Back amen. Amen and amen, woman of God. Thank you for completely filling that call, my prayer general. And again, Pastor Chuck, thank you for that word that truly blessed and nourished our soul today. And I thank you so much, Tiffany, for opening up our call this morning with opening prayer. Bless each and every one of you on this line. And on behalf of Dr. P.K. Roberts of Colorado Springs and myself, Dr. Vanessa, we just encourage you, as we do each and every day, as you leave this master's call, to go out and do the work of the master, the call that he has placed on your life, being his minister in the marketplace. Have an awesome day in Christ. Bye-bye and be blessed.